Nemoto presents AI, an uncertain future. AI, irreversibility. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 23 minutes. A coastal city lies in darkness for 27 minutes. The outage began when an AI managing the regional power grid went offline for an update. In utility control rooms, engineers scramble to reroute electricity manually, only to discover that the analog switches and human-run backup systems were removed years ago. Emergency protocols default to waiting for the algorithm to reboot itself. Traffic lights remain frozen. Port cranes loaded with sensors sit idle. When power blinks back, city managers confront an unsettling truth. Critical infrastructure can no longer function without artificial intelligence. What started as convenience has become irreversible dependence. The very systems that underpin modern life, electric grids, logistics networks, financial markets, have woven machine learning so deeply into their operations that there is no easy way to unwind it. In that brief blackout, the metropolis saw a preview of the point of no return. This irreversibility did not announce itself with a grand event. There was no single day when society surrendered control. Instead, AI seeped into every sector through a sequence of quiet defaults. Over years, hospitals delegated routine diagnostics to algorithms, city departments migrated services to cloud AI platforms, and businesses let AI systems optimize supply chains. Each step felt small. A pilot program here, an automated dashboard there. None felt dramatic. Yet collectively, these steps altered who makes decisions, who holds knowledge, and who holds power. The shift advanced through procurement and habit rather than any public referendum. By the time most people noticed the change, new routines had settled in and human expertise had atrophied. What looked at first like reversible experiments, trial runs of AI to assist human teams, became permanent as organizations grew reliant on output streams they did not fully control. In infrastructure and industry, this dependency deepened year by year. Train networks and air traffic moved to AI scheduling. If the automation were turned off, no team of humans could instantly pick up the load. Water treatment plants adopted predictive maintenance AI that only the vendor understands. Factories that went digital shed their manual controls, and with them the crews who knew how to operate without software. In each case, efficiency improved, costs fell, but a one-way door closed behind. Rolling back to earlier modes of operation would be prohibitively costly or outright impossible. The institutional knowledge needed to run systems without AI was lost or pushed to the margins. In essence, civilization quietly traded a portion of its resilience for optimization. As long as the algorithms run smoothly, the trade seems worthwhile. But when they falter, society finds itself without a fallback option. A major bank, for example, once tried to scale back an automated trading AI after a series of erratic market swings, only to discover it lacked enough experienced human traders to resume manual operation. The bank had to reinstate the AI within days, accepting that the new status quo could not be undone. Economically and structurally, artificial intelligence became the invisible central nervous system of growth. Corporations saw that competitors using AI could move faster and leaner, forcing everyone to adopt similar tools or perish. If one company refused to automate out of caution, another would gladly seize the advantage. In technology, a harsh maxim holds: if something can be done, eventually someone will do a genetic literacy project.org. However dangerous or disruptive a new AI capability might be, some actor, be it a rival firm or a rival nation, will deploy it in search of gain genetic literacy project.org. This inevitability drove a paradigm shift. Safety concerns took a back seat to competitive survival. The result was a ratchet effect. Once a powerful AI system became available, opting out meant falling behind, so adoption was effectively irreversible across the board. An AI that could cut production costs by 30% or analyze billions of data points overnight was not something any profit-driven enterprise or anxious government could refuse. In this way, dependency became universal. From global corporations down to small municipalities, everyone plugged into the new networks of machine intelligence. With each plug-in, older methods were retired and the possibility of return dimmed further. Power structures also transformed in ways that cannot be easily reversed. The entities that control key AI platforms, major tech firms and state-backed labs, accrued immense leverage. They own the data centers, the specialized chips, and the model weights that underpin critical systems. The bargaining power lay overwhelmingly with whoever owned these assets. Hospitals, utilities, and government agencies could negotiate service agreements, but in practice, they had little choice but to trust the provider. It was not a conspiracy, but a balance sheet reality. When vital infrastructure depends on expensive computing capacity and scarce talent, those who supply them hold the cards. This concentration of power compounded over time. Customers kept feeding proprietary AI systems with their data and workflows, making themselves even more captive to the vendor's ecosystem. Reversing course would mean not only finding alternative tools, but potentially losing years of accumulated machine-learned optimizations. As a result, power became centralized in a handful of AI holders, an enduring shift that would be extremely difficult to undo without enormous disruption. The locus of technological authority moved out of public hands and into corporate labs and strategic government agencies, marking a one-way transfer of influence. The longer this went on, the more human oversight became perfunctory. Eventually, even national regulators found themselves relying on analyses generated by the very AI systems they aimed to supervise. Beyond infrastructure and economics, there were subtler, permanent changes to human cognition and culture. In offices, workers came to rely on AI assistants for writing, coding, and decision support. Professional judgment quietly outsourced many of its preliminary steps to machine suggestions. Over time, people stopped learning certain foundational skills. Why memorize legal precedents or medical textbooks when a query to a model brings an instant answer? Why practice driving when autonomous vehicles handle the roads? A generation grew up with AI companions tutoring them, finishing their sentences, guiding their research. Their minds, in turn, were shaped by this ever-present augmentation. Human attention spans, problem-solving approaches, even memory formation began to reflect the influence of ubiquitous AI aid. If all these services vanished, there would be a profound cognitive gap. Human thinking itself had adapted to the presence of intelligent tools. Teachers observed that students trained with AI tutors approached problems differently than those taught in pre-AI classrooms. In a very real sense, part of how people think and learn had been externalized into machines. This, too, is not easily reversible. Once external aids become second nature, the brain's own capacities adjust around them. The cognitive infrastructure of society, like its physical infrastructure, had reached a threshold where turning back would mean dysfunction. As AI integration accelerated, voices of concern began to describe it as a one-way journey. Researchers warned that an effective point of no return was looming in our relationship with intelligent machines. They noted that beyond a certain threshold of reliance, even obvious flaws or harms of AI would be hard to correct because the tools had become essential for basic operations. For instance, if a widely used AI model was later found to be biased or unsafe, removing it could cripple the many systems built atop it. Society would be forced to patch and cope rather than eliminate and replace. In this fashion, error accumulates rather than resets. The risk is a gradual lock-in of suboptimal or even dangerous AI behaviors simply because backing out is too costly. A stark illustration came when a global shipping AI network began behaving erratically, misrouting cargo, and causing supply chain snarls. Investigations found that the AI's training data had unseen gaps, leading it to optimize for speed at the expense of resilience. By the time this was understood, virtually every major shipper and port had integrated the network. The choice was binary: live with the risk and work around the edges, or dismantle the entire logistics AI and risk a worldwide trade freeze. Predictably, they chose to live with the risk, issuing guidelines to humans on monitoring the AI rather than attempting the enormous task of reversing automation. This incident underscored how, even when flaws are evident, turning the clock back is nearly unthinkable. The machine-mediated system had become the system. Policymakers, late to recognize the depth of commitment, tried to regain some control. Various governments launched inquiries into how critical sectors would cope in an AI outage. The answers were discouraging. Simulated AI off drills in finance, energy, and communications revealed severe vulnerabilities. Many agencies did not even maintain non-AI contingency plans anymore. The old playbooks assumed a human-operated baseline that no longer existed. In some cases, the mere attempt to test manual fallback procedures caused confusion and minor crises as employees struggled to do tasks by hand that a year ago had been second nature. The conclusions of these studies were clear. Short of rebuilding entire infrastructures, there was no returning to a pre-AI state. In the language of engineers, the system had passed the fail-safe point. From here on, any solution to AI-related problems would have to involve more technology or better algorithms, not less. You could not simply pull the plug. Experts in technology ethics began to frame this situation in terms of a control problem at the societal scale. Originally, the control problem referred to a hypothetical future superintelligence. If we create a superintelligent AI, will we be able to control it or shut it down if necessary? The underlying fear is that once a machine intellect exceeds human capabilities, it might become effectively ungovernable. Society was now experiencing a mild version of this dilemma, even with narrower AI systems. We had woven dozens of narrow intelligences into the fabric of civilization without a clear way to disable them safely in an emergency. Control had become diffuse and indirect. Humans could influence AI behavior by tweaking inputs or setting goals, but they could no longer simply flip an off switch without enormous collateral damage. This raised unsettling questions about agency and autonomy. Who truly governs a city whose daily rhythms are decided by inscrutable algorithms? Can any human authority claim to be fully in charge when even the experts rely on the AI's outputs to understand complex processes? The paradigm shift imposed by AI was that human oversight moved one level up, from doing tasks to supervising tasks done by machines, and now to merely observing decisions made by machines. It was a new and more tenuous form of control, arguably more fragile. One might assume that with mounting dependency, there would be an equally strong push for safety mechanisms. And indeed, many called for circuit breakers in AI-driven markets or for backup teams of humans on standby. Some industries implemented partial safeguards. For example, power grid AIs were paired with automated shutdown protocols to isolate faults, and commercial airlines kept human pilots in the cockpit even as autopilots handled 99% of flight time. But these measures were piecemeal and offered a false sense of security. The pilots became so accustomed to the AI that their skills faded, making them ill-prepared for rare moments of manual flying. The safety net sagged under neglect. True resilience would require parallel systems and continuous human training, which profit incentives and budget constraints made difficult to maintain. After all, running a full human alternative in parallel with an AI system is redundant and costly, and in a competitive environment, redundancy is hard to justify until the moment it is desperately needed. By this stage, forward-looking voices began to argue that humanity must own and steer the AI trajectory rather than be a passenger. They echoed a sentiment from earlier in the AI transition. The goal is never to halt progress, but to guide it in a way that keeps humans in the loop and in control. Yet in practice, ownership and steering required collective action that lagged behind the technology. Laws and regulations to mandate human oversight or to require manual fail-safes often trailed the pace of deployment by years. In effect, society was running an experiment in real time. Could it adapt governance to a world where essential decisions had become too complex or too fast for any human to make unaided? Irreversibility also manifested in the labor market and economy in a manner that reinforced the dependency loop. As AI systems took over roles from factory work to middle management, millions of workers were displaced or downgraded. This was not entirely unprecedented. Automation had been displacing workers since the Industrial Revolution, but the scale and scope were different. Historically, new technology would eliminate some jobs but create entirely new industries, a dynamic that economists pointed to as a source of optimism. That optimism was predicated on human adaptability and the endless frontier of things for people to do. But general-purpose AI changed the equation. It wasn't replacing one category of labor. It was encroaching on all forms of work simultaneously, from driving trucks to drafting legal documents. For the first time, a tool competed with humans across many domains of skill. That meant the usual escape valve, shifting the workforce into new kinds of jobs, was narrowing. By the time society grasped this, irreversible damage to the traditional employment-based social contract had been done. Entire cohorts found themselves essentially unemployable in any work that paid a living wage, because whatever they could do, an AI could do faster and cheaper. The long-promised new industries employing those displaced failed to materialize at the needed scale. This led to permanent shifts in economic structure. Labor's share of income shrank and did not recover. Consumer demand stagnated because fewer people earned wages, and growth increasingly relied on efficiency gains from AI and on public transfers. Governments scrambled to implement stopgaps like universal basic income to prevent social unrest. A stipend gave people spending money, but it did not restore their sense of purpose or dignity. Thinkers had warned that a society of consumers only is a society of dependence, and now the dependence was entrenched. In its softer form, many lives settled into a numbing routine of passive consumption, hours of screen time, AI-curated entertainment, and cheap pleasures, with frustrations soothed by ever-better algorithmic recommendations. In its harsher form, some social benefits became tied to compliance and data, as those in power realized they could leverage the stipend to enforce behavior. Both forms signaled a troubling loss of agency for citizens. The dependency was not just technological, but also economic and psychological. The question of irreversibility ultimately comes down to this: at what point did humanity lose the option to choose a different path? With AI embedded in every critical function, that point may have already passed. By the time integration reached this depth, trying to undo it would mean unraveling the very basis of modern civilization's productivity and coordination. Short of a cataclysm forcing us back to pre-digital basics, there is no clear way to return to a world run solely by human minds and hands. Instead, the challenge becomes how to move forward responsibly in a condition of permanent augmentation. The power asymmetry between those who wield advanced AI and those who do not is now part of the landscape. The dependency of daily life on algorithms is a given. The creeping irrelevance of certain human skills and roles must be reckoned with, not reversed. And the paradigm shift in what human civilization looks like, with intelligence both organic and synthetic interwoven, has to be acknowledged fully. This realization is sobering. It means that many debates of the past, whether to allow AI in this field or that whether to pause development for reflection, have been superseded by events. Society crossed thresholds beyond which rollback is not possible. The new questions focus on mitigation and adaptation. How to ensure these indispensable systems are robust, transparent, and aligned with human values, given that we cannot simply shut them all down. How to retain human agency and meaning in a world where we are no longer the sole source of decisions or creativity. The tone among planners and scholars has shifted from one of prevention to one of resilience. In private, Engineers admit that they now design systems under the assumption that AI failures will occur and must be survived, much like cities accept that they must withstand natural disasters. Publicly, leaders speak of backup plans and Plan B, but everyone knows there is really no going back to Plan A, the pre-AI era. Irreversibility is a double-edged sword. It traps society in a trajectory, but it also forces a kind of maturity. Like a ship that has left harbor and burned its sails, humanity is committed to the voyage. In practical terms, that means confronting problems rather than avoiding them. If algorithms discriminate unfairly in lending or policing, we have to fix the algorithms. There is no returning to purely human discretion, biased in its own ways, but familiar. If entire populations cannot find traditional employment, we have to rethink the economic paradigm itself, because the old jobs are not coming back. If a superintelligent AI emerges on the horizon, we must find a way to align it with human welfare, since we likely cannot prevent its creation somewhere by someone. In short, we have entered an era of no easy reversals, only forward paths. Each decision from this point on sets precedents for a future that will be ever more entangled with artificial minds. Looking back, one might wonder if there was a moment when humanity could have chosen differently, slowed down, built in more safeguards, retained more human control. Perhaps there were such moments, but they are academic now. The momentum of technology, propelled by competition and human curiosity, proved irresistible. If something can be done, it will be done, no matter how dangerous. That ethos, for better or worse, drove us over the threshold. Our genius for innovation became the promise of AI's benefits, and our madness for pushing limits became the fuel for AI's rapid rollout. Now the consequences play out in real time. The integrations of AI into infrastructure, economy, and cognition are effectively permanent. The lights of the coastal city are on again. Life resumes under the glow of an AI-managed grid. In the control center, a young technician reviews the post-mortem report generated by an algorithm. The incident is labeled operator error, ironically referring to a human mistake in a routine software update. Recommendations scroll past. Deploy a second AI to monitor the first. Improve training for staff on emergency protocols. The humans nod along. They know there is no alternative but to trust the system and try to improve it. In the end, when the machine asks, "What now?" there is no option to answer. Let's go back. The only answer is forward, into deeper partnership, for better or for worse, with the intelligent engines we have woven into every facet of our world. The path behind has vanished, and the path ahead leads further into an AI-defined destiny. This is irreversibility, a new reality in which humanity must live with the technologies it has unleashed, navigating carefully within a future it can influence, but no longer fully control.